Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Condo Craze and HOA show here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, with attorneys Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips of Glazer and Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we are here each and every week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condominium and HOA questions. So give us a call right here in our studio, 877-850-8585. That's again 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab.
And even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com so you can learn lots more about each of us. You can write in your comments about the show, listen to all of our past shows, sign up for our free seminars at the Hard Rock, and we'll talk about that in a little while again. You can click on our Facebook link and see who the show sponsors are and visit all of their websites. And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm during the week directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 877-4-CONDO-CRAZE. And, again, you can visit the firm's website at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com.
Well, last week on our Halloween show, we spoke about whether or not a seller must disclose that their house is haunted. And we had Leslie Blackner and Beth Willett on the show as well from Florida Hometown Democracy to tell us about the Amendment 4 issue, which was defeated this past Tuesday at the polls.
Big time.
Big time defeat there while they were so outspent.
Right.
And as we also know, we had lots of other changes on Election Day this past Tuesday, including a new governor, a new senator, lots of representatives in Tallahassee. And I'm sure all of our listeners would love to know how all this change is going to benefit all of our listeners that live in condominiums and homeowner associations throughout the state.
Isn't that really the question of the week, Karen? And with all this sweeping change, how are our listeners going to benefit from it? Well, let me turn the question around a little bit. With all of the thousands of commercials that all of you have seen on TV and heard on the radio this election season, can anyone please tell me if any candidate said one word about how he or she plans to help those of you that live in community associations? Was there, you know, any talk by someone? Please tell me, call in and let me know who said it and tell me what was said, because quite frankly, I haven't seen it. It's amazing. Millions of us here live in associations throughout Florida and are suffering monumental losses, and at least I haven't seen a word about how associations are going to get help from any candidate, and it's sad and quite frankly disappointing.
Eric, not only did I not see it, I didn't hear it, and that's probably because it's not out there. But ironically, the one candidate who was always out there promoting for the best interests of community associations was the House of Representative member Julio Robina, and he wasn't reelected. So right there, that tells you something about where it's going down here in South Florida and all over the state. So I have no idea who the new guy, like the new go-to guy, is going to be for the actual homeowner and condo associations if there's nobody out there promoting their best interests and seeking things to get for them.
Yeah, unquestionably. Julio Robina was really one out there promoting for the best interests of community associations. I'm not sure who's going to step up and fill that role, but it would be nice to see someone actually step up and do it. But keep in mind that even before Tuesday, the Florida legislature was already Republican-controlled. And for a time, I even vaguely remember, wasn't there a Republican governor? I think his name was Charlie Crist or something like that.
I'm going to stop you right there. Stop going there.
Yeah, you know that guy? He simply wouldn't get out of the way even when he lost his own Republican primary.
Kicking him while he's down.
Yeah, you know, the same guy who switched parties and his long-held personal beliefs just to try and beg to stay in office. You know that guy? It was quite pitiful to watch, to tell you the truth. Anyway, so really, there wasn't much change on a state level, so I don't see much change coming to the rescue of our listeners in terms of changes to association law. Really, nothing changed. It was Republican-controlled beforehand, and it's still Republican-controlled.
Don't knock it before it happens, though. There might still be a change. We're crossing our fingers because, you know, as everybody out there knows, the all-important change that was, in fact, needed in the last few years was making the banks more responsible for the money of past due assessments. You know, it was increased from the 12 months to 1%, but that 1% cap is still there. And, you know, that issue hasn't been raised, and it wasn't raised a few months ago in the Florida House of Representatives. And since there doesn't seem to be anyone new who plans on taking up this, you know, martyr, this action, coming up and standing and saying, hey, guys, we need to do something to help out the associations in Florida. There simply isn't going to be much of change at all, Eric.
Right. That's how I see it. And by the way, I'm not saying that had Alex Sink been elected as governor that things would have been different. In fact, they might have been worse because, quite frankly, she owes her entire career to the banking industry. And I certainly would not have expected her to agree to legislation that would in any way, shape, or form hurt the banking industry and make the banks pay more. So in a nutshell, again, at least on a state level, my thinking is that this election does little to change the affairs of our association listeners. And if anyone agrees or disagrees with that, we would love to hear from you today. Give us a call at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585, and tell us your thoughts about the election and whether or not you think associations are going to do better or worse now.
Well, you know, you also can't help but think that on the federal level, with the House controlled by the Republicans and the Senate still controlled by the Democrats, we're probably looking at total gridlock for another at least 2 years in Washington. And in the meantime, no new legislation will ever be agreed upon by the two parties because they're so bitterly divided.
Yeah, no question about it. On a federal level, there's going to be gridlock for the next 2 years. That's how I see it. As a matter of fact, these Tea Party candidates that have been elected, they're not going there on an agenda of cooperation. They're going in there on an agenda of sticking to their guns. But at least on a state level, it should be simple enough for Rick Scott to get his agenda moving quickly. And if Florida is to rebound to at least some extent, we're going to have to do it on our own with little help from any new federal legislation. But another interesting thought, though. We're approaching the time of year in condominiums and homeowner associations throughout the state where we start planning for the association's annual election to see who are going to be the association's new directors and officers. Now, Christy handles a lot of the annual elections at Glazer & Associates that we do for our association clients, and she'll tell you that everyone is entitled to advance notice of the election, and people who want to run for the board certainly have the right to campaign.
That's correct, Eric. You know, in a condo, the first notification to everyone goes out at least 60 days pursuant to Florida law before the election to let candidates have time to send in their information, their candidate intent forms. And then in an HOA, it actually depends on what the documents say. There's no 60-day requirement in the HOA.
Right.
So therefore, as for campaigning, the condo statute actually allows the candidates to prepare themselves to get their info mailed out, information on them, whatnot. And, you know, it gets them the one-page summary so people know about them more than possibly in the HOAs where their documents may not mandate
right.
that.
It's like, surprise.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And the HOAs actually vote from most of, say, 90% of them actually, you know, pick their candidates at the meeting and vote on them. So only the people there at the meeting know who's who.
Right. Well, here's what's funny. I've been doing this election work in condos and HOAs now for about 18 years. And with all the condo and HOA elections that I monitored or worked on, I never once saw a candidate discuss what their actual political affiliation is. Not once have I seen a candidate for condo director or HOA director say, hey, vote for me because I'm either a Democrat or I'm a Republican. And the question for our listeners today is, why is it so non-important in condo and HOA elections to state your party affiliation?
Yeah, does it matter?
Right. I don't know. Does it? Why is it so non-important in a condo but so important in, you know, general day-to-day politics, you know? Should it matter in a condo? I don't know. And in light of the obvious swing towards the Republican way of thinking this past Tuesday, is this a good year for people that are running in condo and HOA elections to actually say, hey, vote for me. I'm a registered Republican, and I basically support a Republican agenda. You know, can that now actually help you get elected in a condo or an HOA?
It's actually an interesting topic, Eric. I never really thought of that. But, you know, you start to think, you know, I'm trying to actually think how Republicans and Democrats could be so different in a condo setting. I guess, you know, the Republicans would keep talking about stopping taxes and stopping spending. So maybe the Republican candidate for a condo association board would actually say, you know, we don't want to raise the assessments. We're not going to borrow money from the banks. You know, what we can't afford if we don't have cash on hand, we're not doing.
Right. And I dare say it. Maybe a board member who's a Democrat would be a little more patient and forgiving to people who are delinquent on assessments. Or maybe a Democrat would just make the wealthiest 2% of all condo payers pay everyone else's assessments.
No.
You know what I mean? Maybe Democrats would try to do that. Who knows?
I just started learning this stuff, and even I know that you can't make the wealthiest owners pay everyone's assessments.
Yeah, but I bet a few of our listeners who are Democrats thought I had a brilliant idea there for a minute.
Maybe that's why they're not they're nonpartisan, because you think about it, you don't have people making those decisions. You can find that middle of the road, you know, Eric?
Yes, yes. Well, Let us know what you think. Why do the terms Democrat and Republican become meaningless in condo or HOA elections? And with the annual elections coming up, is now a good time to announce your actual party affiliation in hopes of getting elected to your condo or HOA board? Give us a call here at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Elizabeth, we see you there.
Yes.
We'll get back to you right after the break.
This weekend, find the hottest events in South Florida at 850WFTL.com. Click on the WFTL events calendar 24/7.
Crumbling concrete, peeling paint, waterproofing problems? No problem. If you're a building owner or management company, finding solutions to your problems doesn't have to be painful or costly. Promax Restoration and Paint. Whether it's a perimeter wall or parking garage, balcony or pool deck, structural repair, waterproofing, and painting is their specialty. It has been since 1994. At Promax Restoration and Paint, they've seen and successfully repaired and painted just about everything when it comes to high-rise, mid-rise, townhomes, buildings of any shape and size. Yes, their clients have included Marriott, Hilton, Doral, and many luxury condos. But it doesn't mean that Promax Restoration and Paint is expensive. These clients have chosen Promax for their experience and quality workmanship, but also for their ability to offer very competitive pricing. So see their work and see what they can do for you at restorationandpaint.com. Promax Restoration and Paint. 800-624-9371. That's 800-624-9371.
Condominium associations are facing significant challenges today. And with those challenges come the need for special help from a special property management firm. That firm is Miami-based KW Property Management and Consulting, comprised of a team of professionals who are meeting today's challenges. Staffed by CPAs and long-term property managers, KW brings financial controls, budgeting discipline, contract oversight, and strong vendor negotiation skills to its growing portfolio of clients. They call it the KW difference. The real estate market has changed, and so has the role of property managers. They're here to preserve the value of a valuable asset, your home. And today, that role involves strong financial controls and traditional property management responsibilities. Please visit kwpropertymanagement.com or call 305-476-9188. That's kwpropertymanagement.com. You'll see what they mean by the KW difference.
Almost every large building project comes with headaches. Your contractor's a nightmare. The engineer's on a different page. There's problems with the municipality, etc. Well, no more. Call Florida Construction Project Management and say goodbye to the headaches. Florida Construction Project Management can oversee any condominium, hotel, office, or other large building project and get it done as you need it done. They have no affiliation with any contractors, engineers, or suppliers. They work for you. They'll inform you of the progress, keep everyone on the same page, and ensure you're not being taken for a ride. From getting the licenses, insurance, and best quotes to making sure everything's done to code and on time, Florida Construction Project Management will get it done. Why spend personal time getting headaches? Call 954-445-0862 or visit flcpm.com. Florida Construction Project Management. Finally, a company that can help. 954-445-0862 or flcpm.com. License number CGC 1513108.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis along with Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips of Glazer & Associates. We're taking your phone calls today. You can give us a call at 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585. Elizabeth's been hanging on the line there from Boca Raton. Welcome to the program. You're on the air, Elizabeth.
Good afternoon to you all. My question is regarding a homeowners association and the section of the statute 72303, I believe it is, that deals with the recall of directors.
Okay.
So my question is, that sentence under A1, under recall of directors, A1, starts out with, regardless of any provision to the contrary contained in the governing document subject to the provisions of 72307 regarding transition of association control, any of the members of the board may be recalled and removed from office with or without cause by a majority of the total voting interest. So I guess my question is that paragraph contingent upon the phrase 72307 regarding transition of association control versus an association that has been in operation for as a corporation for 31 years and whose governing documents require 60%.
No, what the governing documents, again, it's meaningless if your governing documents require more than a majority to recall members of your board of directors. Basically, what the 720-303 has done is mirror the condo statute. Both the condo statute and the HOA statute now basically allow current members of the board of directors to be recalled just simply based upon a majority vote of the members of the community. That's really all that statute means in a nutshell. Okay, it's a lot of potential defenses, and I can tell you oftentimes what we see is that people read that statute that live in an HOA and live in a condo, and they wind up preparing, and I'm sure, Christy, you've seen this a bunch of times, they wind up preparing just a simple petition. In other words, it says, we, the undersigned members, want to recall the following people, and they list a bunch of names, and then they pass it around from door to door. Okay? Wrong. Don't do that. I can tell you, if there's anyone contemplating out there trying to go through the recall effort, at least ask an attorney first, because quite frankly, while the statute may make it simple and say just get yourself a majority vote, it's not a simple process. It's anything but a simple process, and there are lots of defenses to a recall action. So again, at least speak with an attorney first, or even go online and check the DBPR's website, because the forms and a lot of information about the statute actually exist online.
And Eric,
so am I clear that you're saying that if our documents say 60%, that's irrelevant, it's 50 according to statute?
That's exactly right. Correct.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call, Elizabeth.
Eric, you actually brought up a really, really good point in that in the recall, people think that, you know, just the vote of the recall is the biggest thing, but they actually have to have that meeting afterwards, and if it's not a certified recall, that's a huge defense that we've often seen,
Absolutely.
Bring down recalls.
Right. There's so many defenses to it. Again, oftentimes, unit owners put that petition together, and if the petition is done right, the board doesn't even have to have that meeting within 5 days, because the process is called void ab initio, meaning like void from the beginning, void from the get-go, and the board doesn't even have to go through any meetings or anything like that. So again, it's a complicated, it's a difficult process, and before you waste a lot of time, a lot of effort,
a lot of energy,
and a lot of money, I can tell you, I've had situations over the years where, you know, in 400 or 500 member communities, a lot of owners have gathered together and tried to recall a board, and they wind up getting like 250-300 signatures together on some petition, and it sounds great, and they're excited, and they worked weeks or even months trying to do it, and what happens? They did it all for nothing, because it's all on the wrong form. So again, you have any questions about the process, call our office, 877, the number 4, Condo Craze, and we can certainly answer your questions in that regard. And if you want to call in the show today, it's 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. And Christy, I understand that we actually do have some good news on the foreclosure front for our Broward clients and our Broward listeners today.
I know. I actually feel good about finally saying something, that there is good news out there. But there sure is. As I've said a bunch of times on the show, in Broward County, there was what they called the master foreclosure calendar, where basically all the foreclosures were assigned to only two judges, usually the two acting judges that day. So the condo and the HOA cases were actually forced to go in front of the same two judges as the hundreds of thousands of bank foreclosure cases that were being handled. It was a nightmare. I mean, I can personally tell you it caused delays. You used to sit there for 2 to 3 hours just waiting for your one motion to be heard. Fortunately, though, this week, the chief administrative judge actually entered an order removing condo and HOA foreclosures from the master calendar. So that was finally something that was done right, and I'm so excited about it. And now these cases are actually going to get assigned to the judges, the dozen judges or so, that actually know the law, know more
Seems
about
more
condo.
Fair.
It's a lot more fair.
So the bottom line is we're not lumped together with the astronomical number of cases on the bank foreclosure front any longer.
I don't know about that. I mean, there's not that many astronomical motions set right now, but
yeah,
we'll
right,
go into
right,
that
right,
later.
Right, exactly, because of the moratorium.
Yeah, no doubt about it right now. We won't need to schedule a hearing, you know, every time we need to do something simple like a motion for default or to substitute a party. I mean, all this stuff we had to schedule before. Now, with the actual real judges that are in those divisions, we can just mail the stuff in to save our clients money and to get the process going
less
faster.
Less tedious, yes.
Well, so there may be a little bit to cheer about, at least in Broward. That's some good news. But the allegations of fraud by the banks and their foreclosure counsel just seem to be growing, quite frankly, all around the state. And I know you've been spending a bunch of time and have been on a personal mission trying to prove fraud, actually, in cases that our law firm, Glazer & Associates, are handling for our association clients.
First off, I like the way you did it there, Eric. You brought everybody up by saying there was good news, and now you're just going to, like, pull
bring
the carpet
everybody
out.
Down.
Here we go.
We've got to be realistic on the show, you know?
Oh, I know. And, Eric, as you know, you made fun of me, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, when I was saying there were allegations, and I kept using that word, that there were allegations floating around there. I assumed that they were merely just that. Allegations, and that they would remain unproved, because people out there, I guess I have too good a view of the people in the world, and I just really couldn't believe that, you know, I couldn't bring myself to believe that anyone would commit that type of alleged fraud that was out there in a foreclosure action, especially when you're talking about, you know, somebody's home, somebody that lives there, it's their primary residence. But boy, I can tell you, everyone out there, I definitely have a bigger, different picture of the foreclosure world now, and it was actually crushed. And I started to look into some of these allegations. I mean, I can tell you, I continue to come across more and more affidavits executed by people who didn't even work for the banks, you know, assignments of mortgage affidavits. They were signing on behalf of them. You know, they were doing, as Eric said, they were the robo-signer, 10
with
to 20,000.
Different signatures and everything.
Exactly.
Same name.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, over 90% of those files, Eric, that have come across my desk have some type of fraud issue, which is the scariest thing.
It's amazing. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. Again, anybody with any questions, call in 877-850-8585, whether or not you want to talk about politics or you want to talk about the foreclosure crisis. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
So, enjoy sitting around listening to Condo Craze and HOAs? Good. But when the show is done and you'd like to get in the shape of your life, get up and get to it with Cruise. Body by Cruise is the personal trainer of the area's best hard bodies. Their training and techniques will help you get results like never before. And Cruise makes it easy. If your home or condo has gym facilities, Body by Cruise comes to you. The hassles of signing up and going to a gym often don't pan out, so Body by Cruise trains in the privacy of your own home. Cruise has trained well-known fitness gyms like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Click the website to see more. Bodybycruise.com. That's bodybycruise.com. Or call 305-766-6877. You can get in the shape of your life. You can get results. All you need is the proper training, motivation, and know-how. And that's what you get with personal trainer Body by Cruise. Click bodybycruise.com and they'll come to you. Or call now, 305-766-6877. Ask Eric. He's been training with Cruise for over 4 years.
Someday, you will need insurance, and for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas, to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
Do you pay condo fees? Did you know the master insurance policy premium can account for up to 70% of an association budget? Since 1934, Smith Watson Parker has built its reputation on excellent customer service. Because they are entrusted with the insurance for over 1,500 associations, Smith Watson Parker has access to more insurance companies than most agencies, allowing it to offer the most competitive pricing. Smith Watson Parker is also equipped with a commercial permanently installed generator, so they are up and running right after a storm. Smith Watson Parker agent Sean Virtue empowers board members and property managers with knowledge. Anyone can say that they will tailor a policy just for you, but Sean takes the time to explain exactly what is covered, translates insurance lingo, so you know exactly what you are purchasing. Call 954-815-9377 to speak with Sean Virtue about lowering your association insurance premium. That's 954-815-9377. Or visit condoinsuranceexplained.com. That's condoinsuranceexplained.com for the latest insurance information directly affecting Florida condos and HOAs. You deserve to understand what you're purchasing and only pay for what you need. Empower your association with knowledge, savings, and peace of mind. Sean Virtue has a solid history of lowering insurance premiums, which can help lower association dues. To learn more, visit condoinsuranceexplained.com or call Sean Virtue 954-815-9377 to schedule a master policy review today.
You're listening to South Florida's favorite news talk radio station. This is 850 WFTL, Fort Lauderdale, Boca Raton, West Palm Beach. Weather you can depend on from WFTL.
The South Florida forecast, partly sunny and breezy this afternoon. Now, there may be a sprinkle or a shower, nothing too heavy, though. Temperatures 70 to 75. Tonight, mostly clear, continued breezy, a low 65, and partial sun expected on Monday. It'll be a windy day. There may be a shower, especially in the afternoon with a high in the upper 70s. Looks like we'll have clear skies. Monday night, staying breezy, a low of about 66. I'm meteorologist Rob St. Pierre on News Talk 850 WFTL.
To Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips of Glazer & Associates. We're taking your phone calls. The phone lines are stacked up. Thanks for holding. It's 877-850-8585. We'll start with Susan from Boca Raton. Susan, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, Susan.
Hi. I'm a renter in a condominium. And I want to know the legalities of a couple of issues. I'm living here for the past 2 years. And we moved in here in November 2 years ago. And we had a flood. The person on the third floor, I live on the first floor, left the water running the whole day. And that flooded my whole apartment. Red Cross came, police came, fire came, told us we had to evacuate. Okay, problem was solved. They fixed the walls, they fixed the carpet, and all that stuff. Then a couple of months ago, we had a mold and mildew situation where we had to evacuate the apartment. Now, he will not fix anything, the owner of the condo. He won't clean the carpets. We had men working 2 years ago. The carpets are filthy. I need a new toilet seat. He won't put a new toilet seat in. I need a new shower head. He won't put a new shower head. They did to the bathroom.
Susan, let me cut.
It's unbelievable they didn't complete it.
All right, hold on. Let me cut you off for a second because really your question boils down to not so much a question of condo or HOA law. It boils down to basically landlord-tenant law. Mm-hmm. And in a nutshell, you can give your landlord what's called a 7-day notice and basically telling them that the house is unlivable unless he repairs certain things. You got to send it by certified mail, return receipt requested, and if your landlord does nothing about it within 7 days, you can start withholding the rent. But you got to make sure that you actually tell them in the letter that you're going to start withholding the rent if these repairs are not made. Okay? I apologize to cut you off because we have a bunch of people holding, but that's what you should do, Susan. Okay?
Thanks for the phone call. Thank you very much for your advice.
Thank you.
Steve from Pembroke Pines, you're on the air. Steve.
Hi, how are you doing?
How are you, Steve?
Good, good. Listen, my uncle has a situation. He has a mortgage with Yale, who in my mind is one of the worst in the business. Anyway, they were assumed by another bank that is taking part in making homes affordable, but they won't extend that to him.
Okay.
Is there anything that he can do, A, and would it be wise to do a forensic audit on his mortgage documents because it's with Yale?
Actually, to be honest with you, the first thing, and this is going to sound completely off base, I would advise him to request the copy of the promissory note to make sure that the party that has assumed the mortgage actually has that, and to take a look if there is a possible, has he been in foreclosure yet or no?
No, they haven't filed on him.
Okay, so definitely just go ahead and I'd do a written request to, I guess, who took over from Yale? Do you have the name of the new bank? Or?
No, Yale was assumed in its entirety by another bank.
Yeah, I'd still want to know to who get a copy of your note.
That's what I'm saying. You need to know who the new bank is, and you need to make a certified return receipt request asking them for all the documents to make sure that they have the original copy of the note and all this stuff, because if you get information that possibly they may not have it or they may not be able to pursue an active foreclosure and it may take them a while, what you could do is it's more of a bargaining chip, if you know what I mean. I mean, he may not be eligible for the making homes affordable, but the bank may be willing to work with him in another way if you can kind of show them that you have the information and you know you want to go forward, you don't want to lose the property in foreclosure. Because the making homes affordable, you have to meet those requirements under the federal law.
Yeah. Steve, sorry to cut you off, Steve, but we've got the phone line stacked. If you make it quick.
Okay, yeah. Regarding the mold issue, what recourse do people have if they don't do what they're supposed to do?
By the way, and a prior caller was Susan from Boca, if our listeners pick up today's Sun Sentinel, there's actually a really good article on the front page, at least on the internet, about a condominium unit, I believe it was also in Boca, where the bank has ownership of it, but the bank isn't taking care of it, and a mold problem is continuing to grow. Yes, you can sue the bank to actually go in and take care of their unit, especially if it's causing people to get sick. But if the bank won't do it, then quite frankly, the condominium association also has an obligation to go in there and to prevent damage to further units. So they have not only a statutory right to go in, but a statutory obligation to go in. So again, what I'm saying is, if I'm the condo association and I know people are getting sick, I wouldn't wait for a bank to go in there and fix it. You know, if you're going to make demands upon them and those demands are going to go ignored, sue them, and if you have to, go in by yourself. But, Steve, we've got to grab the next call.
Yes, Carmela from Boynton Beach. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Yeah. I live in a villa, and I'm here 15 years. But prior to that, on the other side of the street are condos and private homes. And naturally, they have their own bylaws, and we have ours. Now, this pertains to a dog. We have a dog, Sharpei, who was 50 pounds, and they don't allow a dog that large in the community.
In the community that you live in?
On the other side.
Hold on. In the community that you live in, you're saying they don't allow dogs?
Yes.
Okay.
No, not that side. They allow little ones.
Right.
But on the other side, they have dogs 100 pounds, and they allow that. They walk throughout the whole community, and yet when I did, they sent me a letter saying I had to get rid of the dog. What I do is I put him in the car and I take him outside the community.
Right. Well, I guess the question to me is, are you governed by a different set of rules, regulations, bylaws, declaration than the condos and private homes that are across the street from you? If the answer is yes, then they, right, in fact, may be allowed, but you might not be allowed. I don't know. There's no way for me to give you an intelligent answer to your question without actually seeing the documents that govern your association and the condo and private home association, okay? But I got to tell you, in general, Christy, tell me what you think about this. I hate documents that say you can have dogs, just not fat dogs.
Ah.
I mean, what do? You just chase the dog around the neighborhood with a scale?
I
never liked it and always thought it was bad. Either allow dogs or don't.
51 pounds.
The best part is, I still to this day remember when I moved into a condo, I believe it was like 3 or 4 years ago, and it said your pet cannot be over like 30 pounds. I have a cat that's over 30 pounds. Like, are they going to come in and like weigh him and make sure like evict the cat? Because the cat doesn't do anything. But yeah, I agree with you completely. There should be.
Call us in the office, 877, the number 4, Condo Craze, and we can take a look at your docs for you. Okay, but we got to grab Roger in Palm Beach.
Hey, Roger.
Roger, thanks for
holding. You indicated before that Broward County had added some judges to their foreclosure procedures to handle foreclosures that came from the condo association as opposed to the bank. Do you know if in Palm Beach County that is true? And do you know how long it would take for a condo association that brought a foreclosure action for non-payment of maintenance?
Thing is, I actually don't believe in Palm Beach County that condo associations were in the master calendar. In Broward, they didn't add any additional judges. What they did was just remove the condo association from the master calendar docket. So they went back to the original judges. Palm Beach and Miami-Dade have always had it where the actual condo associations go ahead and go in front of the original judges, you know, of each division versus, you know, one mass docket, like one mass hearing where you go in front of, you know, two judges with like 200 people there.
So if a condo association in Palm Beach County wanted to bring a foreclosure action for non-payment maintenance, they would be in the same position as a bank bringing that foreclosure action from the point of view of how much time it took?
No, a couple of things, by the way. You know, and again, there's generally still, at least with a lot of banks, there's a moratorium in effect. So banks are basically dragging their feet. This moratorium has absolutely nothing to do with the association's right to continue with its own foreclosure action. Again, I can't stress that enough. So again, when the association wants to be the plaintiff and takes the position that, hey, we're going to file our foreclosure and we don't care, we'll get back title to a unit and then we'll rent it out or try to short sale it or work out a deal with the bank. If that's the association's intention, then the association can foreclose and it's going to take a lot quicker, and I mean a lot quicker, than actually waiting for the bank to finish their foreclosure out. The association, Christy,
you
tell me what you think.
Do you have any idea how much time that would normally take?
Probably anywhere the max, I'm saying, if, you know, you get process, you get service of process on the individuals and, you know, you get everything, your attorneys on top of it, probably 8 to 9 months because you have the online sale system and whatnot, so you can get your hearings in West Palm. I know our office doesn't have any problem usually getting the hearings. You just get them set. You just keep moving on it.
Yeah, but again, we can't stress to our listeners enough, now is really not the time to sit back and do nothing anymore.
You're not off the hook with the moratorium, right?
No, absolutely not. I mean, the moratorium is just making things get delayed and delayed and delayed. Matter of fact, Christy was telling me this week she got back from court from a calendar that's normally crowded and crazy with hundreds of lawyers waiting around, and it was empty. It was silent.
There was less than 20 people there, which to me is insane because usually you get there and you have to wait in a long line. There was 20 people there.
Yeah, so understand nothing is happening in terms of your first mortgage foreclosures. So, again, you may need to rethink strategy, and the association may need to be the aggressor and be the plaintiff. But let's quickly move along and grab Zelda before we go to the break. Zelda from Sunrise, you're up.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I live in an association in Sunrise, and we're building with 36 tenants. Now, one apartment is vacant, and one apartment is under foreclosure. And I understand we're going to be assessed the money for the maintenance fee that the people have not paid.
Right.
Is that legitimate?
That is legitimate. The statute is right, you know, basically right on point. The association bottom line needs a certain amount of money every year to operate. If it falls short because units are in foreclosure, well, the association is going to pass a special assessment or amend their budget. And who do you think is going to pick up the shortfall? Those people that are paying and do have the ability to pay. It's unfortunate, but that's the nature of condominium living.
Which is why it's important for us to stress.
I have one other part to that question, please.
Sure.
If the when and if the apartments are sold, do we have any recourse to getting back some money?
It depends. We don't know if those units have already gone to foreclosure. Maybe a bank has gotten back those units. If so, the bank already should have paid your association 1 year or 1% of assessments, whichever is less, and they should be paying your assessments each and every month when they own the units. Just like everybody else, just like any other unit owner. Again, can't stress that enough. When a bank forecloses, takes back a unit, they have to pay just like everybody else. All right, but Zelda, we need to cut to a break. Thank you very much for calling. Again, the call-in number, 877-850-8585. We'd love to take your calls, but we'll be back right after the break.
More people turn to 850 when news breaks. This is South Florida's News Talk leader
with the information you need.
WFTL.
Crumbling concrete, peeling paint, waterproofing problems? No problem. If you're a building owner or management company, finding solutions to your problems doesn't have to be painful or costly.
Promax Restoration and Paint. Whether it's a perimeter wall or parking garage, balcony or pool deck, structural repair, waterproofing, and painting is their specialty. It has been since 1999. 1994. At ProMax Restoration and Paint, they've seen and successfully repaired and painted just about everything when it comes to high-rise, mid-rise, townhomes, buildings of any shape and size. Yes, their clients have included Marriott, Hilton, Doral, and many luxury condos. But it doesn't mean that ProMax Restoration and Paint is expensive. These clients have chosen ProMax for their experience and quality workmanship, but also for their ability to offer very competitive pricing. So see their work and see what they can do for you at restorationandpaint.com. ProMax Restoration and Paint, 800-624-9371. That's 800-624-9371.
Condominium associations are facing significant challenges today. And with those challenges come the need for special help from a special property management firm. That firm is Miami-based KW Property Management and Consulting, comprised of a team of professionals who are meeting today's challenges. Staffed by CPAs and long-term property managers, KW brings financial controls, budgeting discipline, contract oversight, and strong vendor negotiation skills to its growing portfolio of clients. They call it the KW difference. The real estate market has changed, and so has the role of property managers. They're here to preserve the value of a valuable asset, your home. And today, that role involves strong financial controls and traditional property management responsibilities. Please visit kwpropertymanagement.com or call 305-476-9188. That's kwpropertymanagement.com. You'll see what they mean by the KW difference.
Almost every large building project comes with headaches. Your contractor's a nightmare. The engineer's on a different page. There's problems with the municipality, etc. Well, no more. Call Florida Construction Project Management and say goodbye to the headaches. Florida Construction Project Management can oversee any condominium, hotel, office, or other large building project and get it done as you need it done. They have no affiliation with any contractors, engineers, or suppliers. They work for you. They'll inform you of the progress, keep everyone on the same page, and ensure you're not being taken for a ride. From getting the licenses, insurance, and best quotes to making sure everything's done to code and on time, Florida Construction Project Management will get it done. Why spend personal time getting headaches? Call 954-445-0862 or visit flcpm.com. Florida Construction Project Management. Finally, a company that can help. 954-445-0862 or flcpm.com. License number CGC 1513108.
Do you pay condo fees? Did you know the master insurance policy premium can account for up to 70% of an association budget? Since 1934, Smith Watson Parker has built its reputation on excellent customer service. Because they are entrusted with the insurance for over 1,500 associations, Smith Watson Parker has access to more insurance companies than most agencies, allowing it to offer the most competitive pricing. Smith Watson Parker is also equipped with a commercial permanently installed generator, so they are up and running right after a storm. Smith Watson Parker agent Sean Virtue empowers board members and property managers with knowledge. Anyone can say that they will tailor a policy just for you, but Sean takes the time to explain exactly what is covered, translates insurance lingo, so you know exactly what you are purchasing. Call 954-815-9377 to speak with Sean Virtue about lowering your association insurance premium. That's 954-815-9377. Or visit condoinsuranceexplained.com. That's condoinsuranceexplained.com for the latest insurance information directly affecting Florida condos and HOAs. You deserve to understand what you're purchasing and only pay for what you need. Empower your association with knowledge, savings, and peace of mind. Sean Virtue has a solid history of lowering insurance premiums, which can help lower association dues. To learn more, visit condoinsuranceexplained.com or call Sean Virtue 954-815-9377 to schedule a master policy review today.
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis here with Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips of Glazer & Associates, taking your calls at 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585.
Hey, we just got in an email from one of the show's sponsors, Sean Virtue, from Smith Watson Parker. And he writes in that the bank should be forced to buy an insurance policy that covers the inside of a condo unit that they took title to, especially if the condominium documents say unit owners must have personal insurance. And I couldn't agree with him more. That makes a lot of sense. And some policies actually include mold remediation coverage. And he takes the position that foreclosures are a problem because the banks aren't paying for electric and insurance. So, yes, mold is growing in a lot of the empty units throughout South Florida, right? And that's why now insurance carriers are actually scrutinizing applications, and they're actually declining to insure associations that have high foreclosure units. Thank you so much for that write and email, Sean. We appreciate it like always. I got to talk about the seminar for a minute real quick. You know, our first Condo Craze seminar, the board certification seminar, again, was 2 weeks ago. And our next one is coming up already on November 18th. And to remind everybody, on July 1st, that new law went into effect for condo board members. And again, it states that within 90 days of getting elected, you have to get certified or you're removed from the board. And one of the ways to get certified is by attending a course. Again, I was the first attorney in the state to design and have approved by the Florida DBPR a course that I teach. It allows me to certify you as eligible to serve on a Florida condominium board of directors. The course is held live and in person at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. It's absolutely free. Yes. Everybody who stays from beginning to end walks out with a certificate of completion, again, suitable for framing. It certifies that you are now legally eligible to serve on a Florida condominium board.
And we're going to go over a lot of the topics like budgets and reserve, financial reportings, condominium operations, records maintenance, access to records, which we all know is a huge issue nowadays, dispute resolution, and a lot more. In addition, Eric's going to go over the new condominium laws that are going to be taught in detail, of course, and there's going to be a question and answer period at the end, so if anybody has any inquiries, they can ask them.
Right. The first one was really a lot of fun. It was a great event.
Oh, it was amazing.
Karen, you were there. It was great.
I learned so much.
And the brownies were good.
Yes. Dessert.
Stop, they feed you.
Right. Well, 600 people have signed up for our first four seminars. And again, they are all sold out. I'm shortly going to announce a date for February. But because the demand is really absolutely incredible, and I got to tell you, we're flattered by it. And we're getting a lot of people asking if they can attend the November 18th seminar, even though they didn't register in time. We're now telling everyone that if they want to attend on the 18th, even though we're sold out, we're going to have a standby line,
okay.
And by 6:45, we'll start taking people from the standby line if some of the people that initially registered online fail to show up. So, you know, just like going to the airlines and getting on the standby line, you're welcome to come by, come down to the seminar and get in line, and we'll be happy to let you in if seats do, in fact, become available.
The best part for you, Eric, is they don't get peanuts. They get actually, like,
that's right.
Dessert.
Some
coffee.
Real food.
Very
right.
Dessert.
Right. So we look forward to actually seeing everybody again. But real quick, you know, Christy, before we actually went to the break, before we were saying that the banks are saying that, hey, it's not them. It's just a system that got out of control because of sheer volume and not because of any intentional wrongdoing. Everything that's happening here is just one big accident. What's the response?
Let me say for 2 seconds, yeah. Moment of silence. Oh, that was just because I fell off my chair based on that accidental statement.
There's nothing wrong with saying B. S on the air.
Yeah,
right?
I'm trying to be the polite lady here.
Right.
But let me tell you, in my opinion, there's absolutely no way that these were accidentally done. Most of them required some serious thought and were, in fact, intentionally done. And we plan at Glazer & Associates to try and prove that and get some money and sanctions for our clients. Because these foreclosure processes, the affidavits I'm seeing, the different signatures mm-hmm. on them, whatnot. I mean, Eric, I could probably write a book about this stuff, except it would be released to the people who'd probably look for it in, like, the fiction section.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, it's just a whole new world out there. I mean, I guess fraud is rampant and that's how people make money. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's coming down to the point now where it's so blatant that something has to be done.
Well, unfortunately, here in Plantation, we had one of the main law firms that were doing the foreclosures laid off like 400 people or something this week, you know. And, you know, I got to tell you, Christy, where I think the fraud needs to be looked into, or where there certainly needs to be investigation. Why was one firm getting 70,000 cases per year referred to them? That's what I want to know.
There's only about, I think, six. Right now there's five firms out there that handle all the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac foreclosures in the state of Florida. I'm sorry, but I know Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.